Law 44. Disarm and infuriate with the mirror effect. Judgment. The mirror reflects reality, but it is also the perfect tool for deception. When you mirror your enemies, doing exactly as they do, they cannot figure out your strategy. The mirror effect mocks and humiliates them, making them overreact. By holding up a mirror to their psyches, you seduce them with the illusion that you share their values. By holding up a mirror to their actions, you teach them a lesson. Few can resist the power of the mirror effect. Mirror effects. Preliminary topology. Mirrors have the power to disturb us. Gazing at our own reflection in the mirror, we most often see what we want to see. The image of ourselves with which we are most comfortable. We tend not to look too closely, ignoring the wrinkles and blemishes. But if we do look hard at the reflected image, we sometimes feel that we are seeing ourselves as others see us, as a person among other people, an object rather than a subject. That feeling makes us shudder. We see ourselves, but from the outside, minus the thoughts, spirit, and soul that fill our consciousness. We are a thing. In using mirror effects, we symbolically recreate this disturbing power by mirroring the actions of other people, mimicking their movements to unsettle and infuriate them. Made to feel mocked, cloned, object-like, an image without a soul, they get angry, or do the same thing slightly differently, and they might feel disarmed. You have perfectly reflected their wishes and desires. This is the narcissistic power of mirrors. In either case, the mirror effect unsettles your targets, whether angering or entrancing them, and in that instant, you have the power to manipulate or seduce them. The effect contains great power because it operates on the most primitive emotions. There are four main mirror effects in the realm of power. The neutralizing effect. This is the essence of the neutralizing effect. Do what your enemies do, following their actions as best you can, and they cannot see what you are up to. They are blinded by your mirror. Their strategy for dealing with you depends on your reacting to them in a way characteristic of you. Neutralize it by playing a game of mimicry with them. The tactic has a mocking, even infuriating effect. Most of us remember the childhood experience of someone teasing us by repeating our words exactly. After a while, usually not long, we wanted to punch them in the face. Working more subtly as an adult, you can still unsettle your opponents this way. Shielding your own strategy with the mirror, you lay invisible traps or push your opponents into the trap they planned for you. The narcissist effect. Gazing at an image in the waters of a pond, the Greek youth Narcissus fell in love with it. And when he found out that the image was his own reflection and that he therefore could not consummate his love, he despaired and drowned himself. All of us have a similar problem. We are profoundly in love with ourselves, but since this love excludes a love object outside ourselves, it remains continuously unsatisfied and unfulfilled. The narcissus effect plays on this universal narcissism. You look deep into the souls of other people, fathom their inmost desires, their values, their tastes, their spirit, and you reflect it back to them, making yourself into a kind of mirror image. Your ability to reflect their psyche gives you great power over them. They may even feel a tinge of love. This is simply the ability to mimic another person, not physically, but psychologically, and it is immensely powerful because it plays upon the unsatisfied self-love of a child. Normally, people bombard us with their experiences, their tastes. They hardly ever make the effort to see things through our eyes. This is annoying, but it also creates great opportunity. If you can show you understand another person by reflecting their inmost feelings, they will be entranced and disarmed, all the more so because it happens so rarely. No one can resist this feeling of being harmoniously reflected in the outside world. even though you might well be manufacturing it for their benefit and for deceptive purposes of your own. The moral effect. The power of verbal argument is extremely limited and often accomplishes the opposite of what is intended. As Gracian remarks, the truth is generally seen, rarely heard. The moral effect is a perfect way to demonstrate your ideas through action. Quite simply, you teach others a lesson by giving them a taste of their own medicine. In the moral effect, you mirror what other people have done to you and do so in a way that makes them realize you are doing to them exactly what they did to you. You make them feel that their behavior has been unpleasant, as opposed to hearing you complain and whine about it, which only gets their defenses up. And as they feel the result of their actions mirrored back at them, they realize in the profoundest sense how they hurt or punish others with their unsocial behavior. You objectify the qualities you want them to feel ashamed of and create a mirror in which they can gaze at their follies and learn a lesson about themselves. This technique is often used by educators, psychologists, and anyone who has to deal with unpleasant and unconscious behavior. This is the teacher's mirror. Whether or not there is actually anything wrong with the way people have treated you, however, it can often be to your advantage to reflect it back to them in a way that makes them feel guilty about it. Hallucinatory effect. Mirrors are tremendously deceptive, for they create a sense that you are looking at the real world. Actually, though, you are only staring at a piece of glass, which, as everyone knows, cannot show the world exactly as it is. Everything in a mirror is reversed. When Alice goes through the looking glass in Lewis Carroll's book, she enters a world that is back to front, and more than just visually. The hallucinatory effect comes from creating a perfect copy of an object, a place, a person. This copy acts as a kind of dummy. People take it for the real thing because it has the physical appearance of the real thing. This is the preeminent technique of con artists, who strategically mimic the real world to deceive you. It also has applications in any arena that requires camouflage. This is the deceiver's mirror. Observance of the mirror effect. Early on in his career, the ambitious statesman and general Alcibiades of Athens, 450 to 404 BC, fashioned a formidable weapon that became the source of his power. In every encounter with others, he would sense their moods and tastes, then carefully tailor his words and actions to mirror their inmost desires. He would seduce them with the idea that their values were superior to everyone else's, and that his goal was to model himself on them or help them realize their dreams. Few could resist his charms. The first man to fall under his spell was the philosopher Socrates. Alcibiades represented the opposite of the Socratic ideal of simplicity and uprightness. He lived lavishly and was completely unprincipled. Whenever he met Socrates, however, he mirrored the older man's sobriety, eating simply, accompanying Socrates on long walks, and talking only of philosophy and virtue. Socrates was not completely fooled. He was not unaware of Alcibiades' other life. But that only made him vulnerable to a logic that flattered him. Only in my presence, he felt, does this man submit to a virtuous influence. Only I have such power over him. This feeling intoxicated Socrates, who became Alcibiades' fervent admirer and supporter, one day even risking his own life to rescue the young man in battle. The Athenians considered Alcibiades their greatest orator, for he had an uncanny ability to tune into his audience's aspirations and mirror their desires. He made his greatest speeches in support of the invasion of Sicily, which he thought would bring great wealth to Athens and limitless glory to himself. The speeches gave expression to young Athenians' thirst to conquer lands for themselves rather than living off the victories of their ancestors. But he also tailored his words to reflect older men's nostalgia for the glory years, when Athens led the Greeks against Persia, and then went on to create an empire. All Athens now dreamed of conquering Sicily. Alcibiades' plan was approved, and he was made the expedition's commander. While Alcibiades was leading the invasion of Sicily, however, certain Athenians fabricated charges against him of profaning sacred statues. He knew his enemies would have him executed if he returned home, so at the last minute, he deserted the Athenian fleet and defected to Athens' bitter enemy, Sparta. The Spartans welcomed this great man to their side, but they knew his reputation and were wary of him. Alcibiades loved luxury. The Spartans were a warrior people who worshipped austerity, and they were afraid he would corrupt their youth. But much to their relief, the Alcibiades who arrived in Sparta was not at all what they expected. He wore his hair untrimmed, as they did, took cold baths, ate coarse bread and black broth, and wore simple clothes. To the Spartans, this signified that he had come to see their way of life as superior to the Athenian. He had chosen to be a Spartan rather than being born one, and should thus be honored above all others. They fell under his spell and gave him great powers. Unfortunately, Alcibiades rarely knew how to rein in his charm. He managed to seduce the king of Sparta's wife and make her pregnant. When this became public, he once more had to flee for his life. This time, Alcibiades defected to Persia, where he suddenly went from Spartan simplicity to embracing the lavish Persian lifestyle down to the last detail. It was, of course, immensely flattering to the Persians to see a Greek of Alcibiades' stature prefer their culture over his own, and they showered him with honors, land, and power. Once seduced by the mirror, they failed to notice that behind this shield, Alcibiades was playing a double game, secretly helping the Athenians in their war with Sparta, and thus re-ingratiating himself with the city to which he desperately wanted to return, and which welcomed him back with open arms in 408 BC. Interpretation. Early in his political career, Alcibiades made a discovery that changed his whole approach to power. He had a colorful and forceful personality, but when he argued his ideas strongly with other people, he would win over a few, while at the same time alienating many more. The secret to gaining ascendancy over large numbers, he came to believe, was not to impose his colors, but to absorb the colors of those around him, like a chameleon. Once people fell for the trick, the deceptions he went on to practice would be invisible to them. Understand, everyone is wrapped up in their own narcissistic shell. When you try to impose your own ego on them, a wall goes up, resistance is increased. By mirroring them, however, you seduce them into a kind of narcissistic rapture. They are gazing at a double of their own soul. This double is actually manufactured in its entirety by you. Once you have used the mirror to seduce them, you have great power over them. It is worth noting, however, the dangers and the promiscuous use of the mirror. In Alcibiades' presence, people felt larger, as if their egos had been doubled, but once he left, they felt empty and diminished, and when they saw him mirroring completely different people as totally as he had mirrored them, they felt not just diminished, but betrayed. Alcibiades' overuse of the mirror effect made whole peoples feel used, so that he constantly had to flee from one place to another. Indeed, Alcibiades so angered the Spartans that they finally had him murdered. He had gone too far. The seducer's mirror must be used with caution and discrimination.